This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi everyone, it's Simon Smart. I'm talking again today with Mick Martin. Mick is the pastor at the independent church in North Sydney called The Upper Room. Hi Mick.
Hey Simon.
We've been talking about what it is to be human. We started off talking about the things that divide us. Last time we were talking about our hyper-individualistic culture. And Mick, you finished by talking about studies that have shown that when a person becomes too isolated from other human beings, they can suffer mental, emotional, even physical damage. Yeah. It's highly suggestive, isn't it, of the sort of beings we are.
When we are isolated, if it's for too long or if it's too extreme, then it actually threatens the very essence of our humanity, what it means to be human. And the question that was asked by a particular researcher was, you know, can people retain their humanity without the constant affirmation of their humanity through positive contact with other human beings?
So there aren't many healthy hermits.
It's interesting, isn't it, that some people do choose to live lives of complete isolation, but it's interesting, as an example, the film Castaway with Tom Hanks, when he was stranded on a desert island on his own, he felt the need for connection and companionship so much that he got the netball, and I think it was, and put a face on it and some hair and gave it a name, Wilson, and it became his companion, to the point where when Wilson got lost at one stage, he was beside himself with grief and anxiety. Yeah, so the Tom Hanks character in that film was definitely losing sense of reality in all of that. But that's one of the effects of isolation too, is that our sense of who we really are, my sense of myself and what the world is really like, is so dependent on the fact that I'm getting constant input from other people around me who are verifying that my view of reality is right, and that give me a sense of who I am in relation to others, you know. And so if you remove that input, you can get to a point where you're no longer able to discern what's real and what's not, and you start to lose that sense of self. Ironically, as in being isolated and left by yourself, you lose your sense of self through that experience.
I mean, there's nothing accidental about solitary confinement as such a harsh, debilitating
absolutely, and
punishment.
Exactly. And the effect of it is to dehumanize these people. There's a scene at the end of the film, A Beautiful Mind, where the Professor John Nash, main character, who suffers from hallucinations, has issues with that, asks a student in the classroom to verify for him that there's actually a man standing there talking to him, because he can't trust his own judgment on that. And that's an extreme illustration, but I think there's an element of that in all of us, that we do rely on input from others and confirmation from people around us that how we're perceiving reality and how we're navigating our way through life is real.
That's interesting you say that, Mick, because when talking about mental illness, recent years have seen a movement away from that sort of treatment which would have isolated people into institutions and brought them, where it's possible, much more into community situations. And it's thought now that that's much healthier and likely to produce good outcomes.
Yeah. And I think what the underlying point in all of this is that personhood or individuality only really makes sense in the context of community. So one way of putting it, I guess, is there's no me unless there's first we. And we tend to think of it the other way around. You know, we tend to think of me as being primary. First there's me, and then if lots of me's join together, then we get a we. But I think we need to turn that on its head and realize that actually it starts with we, and me only makes sense if there's first a we.
One thing I want to just pick up, though, is that Christian theology would emphasize the fact that I'm a unique individual, for instance, and highly valuable in that sense. So surely, Mick, there's a place for the individual as well as the relationship.
Absolutely, and I think it's important not to see the individual and community as negating each other or being somehow opposites or dichotomous. You know, community is not some amorphous blob of undifferentiated humanity. It's community is a conglomerate of individuals, and what gives shape and color and soul and life to any community, whether it's a family or a social group or
uniqueness,
is what each individual contributes to that collective experience. So there's a fundamental point of Christian theology that I think underpins all of this, and that is that according to Christian teaching, human beings are created in the image of a divine being whose nature is essentially communal. Father, Son, and Spirit, three distinct persons, but so intertwined and interdependent with one another that we regard them as a single being. And I think if human beings are created in the image of that God, I think it speaks volumes about what it means to be individuals in community.
Thanks, Mick. Let's talk again next time.
Great.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.